You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your questions a little later on in the broadcast. Right now, I want to talk to Scott Klusendorf about an article that he produced for the Christian Research Journal. Imagine that you were merely material, that your choices were merely a function of factors like genetic makeup or brain chemistry. The implications are profound. In a solely material world, reason itself is reduced to the status of a conditioned reflex. The very concept of love would be rendered meaningless. Rather than being an act of the will, love would be relegated to a robotic procedure fatalistically determined by physical processes. But logically, intuitively, we recognize non-physical aspects of our humanity, aspects like ego. And even though our physical identity changes from year to year, we recognize a sameness of soul that legally establishes personal identity. And libertarian freedom presupposes as well that we are more than mere material robots. Together, these kinds of factors give us warrant to conclude that human beings have an immaterial nature that transcends the material body. Why is that important? Because when you watch television broadcasts, a worldview is being communicated to you, and you need to be able to see through the worldview, the discrepancies within the worldview. Why? Because we want to be apologists. We want to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. So you can use all kinds of things, even television programs, as a springboard, an opportunity to share the truth and the love and the grace that only Jesus Christ and a biblical worldview can bring to the human heart. Scott Klusendorf is president of Life Training Institute. He holds an MA in Christian Apologetics from Biola University. He joins me now. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Good to be here, Hank.
Scott, you say that we can learn something from a program called The Walking Dead, and in fact can learn something that will establish our position with respect to pro-life in a very powerful way.
Yes, I do agree with that, and I like what you said a moment ago about looking at media through the lens of a Christian worldview, because when we do that, we're able to see things that don't line up with what we know to be true as Christians, and we can then use those as springboards for communicating biblical truth to others. And the Walking Dead series, the AMC series, is a classic case in point. It's a zombie series, and I must confess that I've never been much for zombies and had never even thought of watching such a thing, but I somehow stumbled across this, and I was gripped by it, Hank. It's not your daddy's zombie film. It's very real. It's got a realistic setting. The characters are believable, and it's just chocked full of worldview ideas. And it's basically the storyline of a tiny group of human survivors who are trying to outrun and get away from hordes of rambling zombies who are there because there's been a zombie apocalypse. And in episode 6, we get to the point you just referenced a moment ago, and that's where this tiny group of humans ends up at the CDC in Atlanta, and they're about to be overrun by the zombies when they're let in through a secret door into the CDC, and there they meet Dr. Jenner, and that's where the worldview confrontation takes place.
And this is a worldview confrontation that has to do with scientific materialism on the one hand and substance dualism on the other. Now, those words or those monikers in themselves are are difficult for many people to grasp. Some people have never heard of substance dualism or scientific materialism. What's really going on in terms of definition here?
Well, the two worldviews go like this. Scientific materialism says that there's nothing real in the universe except physical stuff. So things like souls, morals, would be strictly matters of personal opinion or preference. They wouldn't be real the way that the hard sciences would be real. Of course, if that's true, that presents some enormous problems for human identity and human nature, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But the competing view is the Christian worldview that is substance dualism, that says we are not merely physical machines. Rather, we are souls that have a body. And that view is strongly supported in Scripture. We hear Paul saying that he had a vision where he wasn't sure if he was in heaven with the Lord or here on earth, but either way, he was apart from his body when he's describing his reference point. We hear Paul say to be present with the Lord is better than to be here, clearly indicating that we live beyond our physical bodies. And we see that truth in both the Old and New Testaments. And it's that substance view that says humans have particular natures that ground their identities through time and change that better explains human nature than the scientific materialistic view.
And the scientific materialistic view has encroached itself on the borders of Christianity itself. I mean, there are people within the Christian camp who seem to be scientific materialists.
Oh, there are. You have philosophers at Fuller Seminary and other seminaries who argue that we are physical machines, that things like souls are not ultimately real. And this is not some liberal establishment where you would only see a weird idea come out of someone who rejects all biblical authority. But it's exactly as you say, Hank, these are people who purport to be one of us, who purport to be evangelicals, and yet they are teaching a view that is decisively non-biblical.
And can you live consistently if you have scientific materialism as a worldview?
I don't see how you can, Hank, because if it's true that we are nothing but physical stuff, how do we have any degree of responsibility for our choices? Imagine someone who commits a crime. Our bodies change constantly. And let's say I commit a crime 5 years ago. Well, I was made up of different physical stuff back then. In what sense, then, am I responsible for the actions that I did? Where the substance view, the Christian worldview, can say, wait a minute, I'm the same being then as I am now because I have an inner nature or soul that grounds my identity through time and change. And that's precisely the issue that came up in episode 6 of The Walking Dead that I found so fascinating. Because what happened is this Dr. Jenner says to the group of human survivors, look, I want to show you how a zombie attack works on a victim. And he puts up a video screen and he points to this victim and you see the zombie bite take over the brain. And he points to the brain and he says this. He says, look, the brain, it's a person's life, his experience, memories, it's everything. Somewhere in that organic wiring, all that ripples of light is you, the very thing that makes you unique and human. And then he concludes with this, pointing to the frontal lobes of the brain. He says, those are the synapse passages, the electrical impulses in the brain that carry all the messages. And here's the key point, Hank. He says this, they determine everything a person says, does, or thinks from birth to death. In other words, humans are nothing more than their physical brains. And of course, if that's true, a whole bunch of disturbing stuff follows.
And what you do is you tie this directly into the pro-life movement. And you do so by pointing out in the article that when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to a body, she gives birth to a body-soul unity. And therefore, that being has personhood from the moment of conception and has value and is equal in value to other people, and therefore to abort a baby is to take the life of an innocent human being.
Yes, because if Dr. Jenner is correct that we are nothing but our physical brains, in other words, brain function determines everything, those with more brain function have a greater right to life and greater equality than those of us with less. The biblical view says, wait a minute, we all have particular natures as human beings. We have a particular nature, a human nature. That nature comes to be when we come to be. And all humans share that nature equally. You don't have it in a greater degree than someone else, even though your functional abilities may be greater than someone else. Some of us, for example, might have greater levels of self-awareness. We might be able to feel pain more explicitly than others. But in terms of having that underlying nature, we all share that nature equally. And that becomes then an adequate basis for explaining human rights and human equality. The secular materialist view can't account for that equality.
Scott Klusendorf, not just cursing the darkness, he's building a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. He's president of Life Training Institute, and again, a great apologist and writer, and appreciate your contribution to our broadcast today.
Hank, thank you.
God bless you, my friend. And the article is part of the Christian Research Journal. Through these kinds of mediums, like the Christian Research Journal, you become equipped. When you become equipped, you can touch lives. When you touch lives, you make a difference for eternity. And that's the end game. We'll be right back with answers to your questions in just a few moments.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll go right to your questions now. First up, Carolyn, listening on the web in Titusville, Florida. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. My question concerns believers. Why does the Holy Spirit allow us to come down on two different sides of issues, like young earth, old earth, predestination, free will, premillennial, postmillennial? There's a lot of these things that, although some are not maybe basic Christian doctrine, but still, I would think that the Holy Spirit would be speaking truth to a believer.
Yeah, well, a couple of things. One is you answer the question by saying that we're talking here about secondary issues. Doesn't mean they're not important, but still they're secondary. The essentials of the historic Christian faith is what unite Christian with Christian in terms of their worldview. They are the doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood. But having said that, let me also point out that you and I, Carolyn, are limited in time and space, which is to say we only have so much time, and therefore, in some sense, we're pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants. We're learning from people who have preceded us, and we're learning continuously ourselves. On the subject of eschatology, I've written a book called The Apocalypse Code, but it took me 15 years before I felt like I was ready to write that book because I was in the process of learning. Now, I had a big advantage. I had the ability, the platform, the situation in which I could be a perpetual learner on a subject, which I could take the time to memorize a book like Revelation or memorize passages in Daniel or other apocalyptic passages in Scripture so that the study allowed me to produce an opinion that is not just based on a fanciful flight of interpretation, but rather based on carefully interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture. But we all don't have that opportunity. We all don't have that time. So there are things that you've looked into far more deeply, I imagine, than I have. And on those issues, I would defer to you and I'd be learning from you. And that's why we can say iron sharpens iron, and we can learn from other believers in the process of living out the Christian life.
But if both believers are actually appealing to the Holy Spirit to show them the truth, like, you know...
Yeah, but it still doesn't mean you're
like
omniscient.
Young earth, old earth.
I mean, you don't know everything. And the whole issue of the age of the earth, it takes a lot of elbow grease. It takes a lot of work. For example, I wrote a book called The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution and never engaged the age issue. Why? I didn't feel qualified to. I hadn't spent enough time with it. And I feel like there is a tremendous amount of time and effort and study that goes into credibly answering questions as opposed to just parroting what someone else said. I mean, we're not omniscient. I mean, we're learning and we're growing and developing. And remember, the Bible does teach us that iron sharpens iron. So we can learn from one another. And in the process of debate, we become more usable vessels, more usable tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit.
But if you have a non-believer that's saying, okay, you all don't even believe the same things.
Yeah, but again, you pointed this out, Carolyn, they're secondary issues.
It would mess up a testimony if you've got two Christians saying opposite things. And yes, maybe they're not basic, but the non-believer doesn't know that. He thinks that that's a very credible issue, young earth, old earth, you know, speaking in tongues or not.
But we're not saying these aren't credible issues. They're very credible and very important issues. What we're saying...
But a non-believer would wonder why two believers are contradicting each other.
Well, thinking with one another, I think, is a better way of putting it. Again, you know, the main and the plain things are main and plain things because they're very clear. There's no question when you read the Bible that Jesus Christ is God. So the deity of Jesus Christ isn't up for grabs. There's no question when you read the Bible that Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time and put all things to right. Now, the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, these are things that are not as clear to people. And they take a tremendous amount of study and effort and work so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. And some people have had as I said, more time and experience at this than others. And that's why there are varying degrees of competency when it comes to these sorts of issues. But I think what we can model to the world is that we can debate these things in a way that's collegial, a way that reaches as opposed to repels. So I give you an idea on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I strive not only to give information, but to give the information in such a way that there's a model of patience and kindness and respect for the other person. That's what I'm seeking to do and seeking to get ever better at doing, because I'm trying to model that to the people listening in. So it's not just information or content, it's the way in which that information is presented. And hopefully that is a way that ends up allowing a non-believer listening in to say, you know what, they disagree, but they've done it in an agreeable fashion. And I start to understand these are very difficult concepts. And I think intuitively know that anyway.
Well, I agree with that. I appreciate your explanation here. And like you say, something that would reach and not repel would be a good way to address these differences.
Well, and I appreciate your persistence, because by probing and pressing and continuing on, I think you've helped a lot of people to kind of think through these things as they're listening in.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Hank.
Carolyn, thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Next up is Ola, listening in New Jersey. Hi, Ola.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. I'm enjoying your teachings. I admire your knowledge of biblical truth. I have a question. I on a viewpoint of the end times, of the new heavens and new earth. Now, my personal belief is that the new heavens and new earth will be on the order of pre-Edenic days before sin. And the only difference being, in our new creation, God will give to mankind bodies, celestial bodies, that will not be subject to death, because there will be no sin. I want your viewpoint on that.
I think you're right. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Peter says that the present heavens and earth will pass away, but what he's communicating there is that the cosmos will be thoroughly transformed as opposed to totally terminated, and it will be what it once was before death and mourning and crying entered the universe. So the old order of things will be done away with, and all things will become new. And I think an analogy would be a caterpillar that passes away and a butterfly emerges. There's a real passing away, but there's a real continuity as well, a real connection. And we might say the same thing about what happened at Mount St. Helens when it was destroyed. Well, anyone who goes there now and sees the new growth would know that destroyed did not mean put out of existence. And I think the same thing ought to be said in connection to our bodies, because what happens to our bodies and what happens to the creation go together. And what happens to our bodies is not annihilation, but redemption. Our bodies will be redeemed, restored, made new. They're not being discarded, but they're being restored, resurrected. And so it will be with the heavens and the earth. What now groans in travail will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And again, that's why in Revelation chapter 21, we read that there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The old order of things will be done away with, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. And that will be removed, and we will be, exactly as you described it in the prologue to your question, restored to the state before sin entered the world.
Well, Hank, I further believe also that whenever God gave us these terrestrial bodies, God knew, he knows all things, that mankind would sin, but he also gave man a will, and we would be robots had God not operated in the manner in which he did, because we had a choice. We chose to be what God wanted us to be by choice. You could either accept him as Savior, God of Almighty, and spend eternity with him, or you could use our will to do what we want to. And so I believe this is why God gave us these bodies that can die, because God knew what man would do. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, and again, the fact that God knew what we would do as human beings does not mean that our lives are fatalistically determined. So you can have knowledge of something without being the causal agent of something. And we don't say that God was the author of sin, but we do say that God authored the potential for sin by giving us freedom of choice. Boy, you are very well spoken. It was a joy talking to you.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Ola.
God bless you, Hank.
Okay. Want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Steve. He's listening in Tennessee. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Hank. My question was, a born-again Christian, do they still have free will?
Well, yes. A born-again Christian has a free will, but the willer is turned in the direction of God. In other words, what happens when we become a believer, we respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. As a result of responding to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, we recognize we're sinners, we repent of our sin, we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and in that process, our willer is pointed in the direction of God rather than in our own self-interest. And as a result, we then are going through a process called sanctification, where we are more and more conformed to the image of God. But that is what we want. I mean, that's what repentance is all about. We're saying we want to go in a different direction. We want to do it your way, not our own way. You know, radio isn't free. In fact, every day, every week, every month, CRI relies on God's provision through good friends like you for the resources to put the Bible Answer Man broadcast on the air, providing clear and immediate scriptural answers to the hard questions of believers and skeptics alike. Again, I appreciate your support. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.